All right, thank you for being back here tonight, Full House, and I appreciate it. This morning it was crazy. We had a lot, the house was packed here and had a lot of visitors, and it was on a rainy day. Thank you for not using that as an excuse to stay home. This is, I guess, considered a storm for us, okay? And or this is our bad weather, and it's really nothing, but thank you for being here and being faithful to God's house. And I want to look at something this morning. The message will be a little different in that we're going to look at the story, and we're going to go through the story, and we're going to figure out one thought from the story, and then we're going to use that to jump off to talk about something else related to that point, not necessarily look at the story. That's not normal for the messages around here, but I do want to do that this evening. But by the way, we have evangelist Brother Benny Beckham here and his wife. Thank you for being in the service. Let's give him a warm of applause. I've heard much of you. I've not been able to personally meet yourself. Thank you for being with us tonight. Imagine wanting something, putting your effort forth to get it, and yet really when in the whole scheme of things, you had zero chance to get it in the first place. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much time, effort, money, whatever it is you invest, the odds of you actually being successful was zero. My favorite restaurant in the world, McDonald's, okay? Think I'd rather eat out of a, I won't say that. They have these competitions sometimes, Monopoly. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Where you get the cups and you get the little Monopoly pieces and you save them and you can win prizes. One of the first times they had that was back in the 90s. And you win all the other pieces. You always need that one piece to win the big money prize. Well, the guy who was the head of security for the company that was producing the little winning McDonald's stickers, he was stealing the few that you actually had to have to win the big money. And then what he was doing is he would go to someone and give them that piece, and he would get a percentage of their winnings. By the time that they found out he was doing that, of the $25 million big prize money, he had $3 million of it. And all these people, and probably some of you in here, were killing yourself, eating McDonald's to win a prize you had no chance of ever getting. The only thing you won was indigestion. Tonight, I want to look at Esau for a few minutes as a springboard to what I want us to get tonight. Esau wanted something that, because of an earlier action in his life, he had no chance of ever getting. Esau is the twin brother of Jacob. We see that in Genesis chapter number 25. He came first. He was the eldest of the two brothers. And as such, he was the true heir to the birthright of the firstborn son. Now, we understand that God had already told them that the younger would be the one who gets the birthright. And for whatever reason, God may have just decided that. He knew what Esau was going to be like. That was God's decision. But on an earthly realm, the birthright was to be Esau's. The birthright was a big thing. It allowed the older one, the one who had the birthright, to be the priest, the spiritual leader of the family going forward. He would also receive a double portion of the inheritance of the father, and it was just a place of sacred importance in the family. And this was supposed to fall to Esau. That's why you remember Joseph when he came and he had his dream and he told his brothers, I had a dream and basically the sun, the moon, and the stars bowed down to me. Well, the brothers understood what that meant, that they were all going to bow down and be really subservient to him. And they did not like that. Joseph was not the firstborn. Initially, the birthright did not seem very important to Esau. Turn back in your Bible a couple chapters. Leave it open to Genesis. We're going to look at a few verses here. Genesis chapter number 25. I think we preached on this a few months ago. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 32. says, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me? In other words, we know the story where he came in from the field and he was very faint and he thought he was going to die, and his brother, who was a lot more like his mom, and Esau was more like his dad, we'll talk about that in a minute, and his brother was making some food, and he goes, can you feed me? I'm starving to death. And his brother's like, yeah, but give me the birthright. And he thought he was going to die, and he really didn't think very much, it seems, of the birthright. And so he gave it to his brother for a bowl of pottage, a bowl of lentils. That says that in verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I hope at least the food was good. By the way, and this is a message for another day, isn't that like we are in our lives? We sell out our future for something that we think we need right now, some temporal pleasure, and as soon as we're done with it, we're done with it, and the guilt comes, and it really doesn't fulfill, and we've lost something of great importance. But that's a message for another day. But as the time is drawing near for their father to die, or he thought he was going to die, he actually lived a little bit longer, we see that Esau did want the blessing, even though he already sold it. Look at Genesis chapter 27. We'll look at verse 30. Genesis 27, verse 30. It says, It came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob. Now, the blessing is, he's trying to give the blessing to Esau, and he tells Esau, Isaac tells Esau, go make some food, you know, like the venison like I like. Go hunt, go get it, make the food, come, and I'll bless you. Jacob's mom hears that, and she says, look, she worked it all out. She was deceitful too, by the way. And so they make this food. He wears something to make himself seem hairy, and they fool the father. And the father thinks it's Esau, and he gives him the blessing. Verse 30, as we said, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul might bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Isaac. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. He realizes he's been fooled. And said, who? Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. See, he wants it now, but it's too late. He can cry, he can ask, he can beg, but there's nothing that can happen that would change that. By the way, Hebrews in chapter 12 tells us that Esau was a profane individual. We understand that. But he lost the blessing that was associated with his birthright. And he heard something from his father that he probably did not want to hear. Look at verse 38 of chapter 27. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven and above. And by the sword thou shalt live and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have a minion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. He says, you can't have it. You are now as if you were the second born. One day you're going to grow strong and you're going to break that relationship with our family and break that relationship with your brother. But he is the one that has the birthright. All he was left with was bitterness towards his brother, losing a birthright that was his and all the blessing that came with it. Now we come to the story that we read, that Daniel read for us here. I've read this many times, especially the end section there, and I've always thought about it and thought about how sad it was I've never really preached on it, but it's a very sad and tragic few verses here. Isaac, at the beginning of the chapter, he brings his son in, Jacob, and he's finally, whatever it is in his mind, come to grip that this is the one, and so he's giving him the blessing and talking to him about really his responsibility, the birthright, but he gives him one thing he wants him to do. He has to marry right. By the way, that's a good thing right there. And he says, I don't want you to marry the daughters of this land. By the way, because he was the son and he was in the genealogy of Christ, he had to have the right wife, someone of their own kindred, someone of their own nationality. And so he's going to send him to one of his relatives, and that's a story for another day, to get the wife. Esau hears about this. He knows what's going on between his father and Jacob. And by the way, let me just say this, it must have hurt him very deeply. Jacob was more of what we would call a mama's boy. You know, Esau was more of a daddy's boy. Esau liked to hunt. Esau liked to do, boy, that's not popular nowadays. And, you know, he was a man's man. And I'm not saying Jacob was a sissy. He did some things that we see and it's like, okay, but he was more mommy in the kitchen and cooking. Okay? And Esau was more of, let me go kill what we're going to eat for dinner. And he was closer to the dad, and Jacob was closer to the mom. Now that's not how you run a family, by the way. That's a really bad family parenting plan. But that's how it was. But just think how Esau must have thought about this. He is closer to his dad, and Jacob's getting that blessing from his dad. Jacob's getting these special instructions from his dad. And he sees Jacob obeying his dad's instruction and really, in a sense, probably feels he's drawing closer to his dad. And that was the relationship I had with dad. Esau didn't do those things. By the way, he already had some wives of the land. He didn't seem to go to his dad to get advice on that. He already had done his own thing. So in the verses we read here, verse number 8 of chapter 28, and Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan, pleased not Isaac his father. He had already done that, but now he's going to try to get it right. Then went Esau unto Ishmael, a relative. By the way, not the kind of relative he should have been with. Ishmael is the son of the flesh, the son of self-will, the son of Abraham and Sarah trying to do God's will in the wrong way through the Egyptian maid. But he goes to him, and he gets a couple wives. He goes and gets a wife or two from him. What's the point here as I look at this story? It's very sad. He's still trying to get back that thing that he lost, that relationship with his dad, that blessing, the birthright. And he hears what Jacob is told by his dad, and he says, I want to do that too. I want to get that thing back that I lost, but it wasn't going to happen. It was too late. It was done. Now, what's the point? That's the point I want us to see tonight. Our theme this year, and we're preaching on the series in the morning, is Now is the Time. But I want to bring that for a message one time tonight to you. You see, Sunday night crowd, you're the core of the church. Not that the Sunday people just come on Sunday morning aren't, don't get me wrong, but you're faithful. You're here. You're doing the work. You're more helping the church to go forward. And we need to understand something about that. Because if we don't take our theme seriously, which really we should take it all the time, be urgent, be diligent, and be fervent about what we're doing for the Lord, there's going to come a time when it's too late. It's too late. It may not be in a church sense, but it may be individually in your life. You see, I don't want us to look back at our lives in regret. I wish I had done more. I wish I had done this. You see, I've heard many preachers say it, and we've mentioned it here. You have to preach in such a way because I know that one day we will all stand before God. And we're going to be accountable for what we did. That's a judgment day. Now, we'll never be judged for our sin. Thank God for that. But we will for our works. And I don't want us to stand before God, and God looks at us, and we're like, I never did anything for you. By the way, I like that Old Testament phrase. We preached on it. A better resurrection. So now is the time. Understand this, that the church is God's agency for fulfilling his purpose in this world. And I get it. We're thankful for everything that God does. I'm thankful for everybody that gets saved. We had adults saved in the service this morning. People baptized. I'm thankful for everything that's going on. The bus ministry, the Sunday school class, all of it. But we can't get content with that. Well, you know, Pastor Myers, it's pretty crowded in here on Sunday mornings. Give us a couple months, the balcony to be open. That's not an excuse. I'm not trying to push us, but I'm just saying, now's the time. Now's the time. This world needs us more than ever before. And I don't want us to look back as a church, and I don't want you to look back as a Christian and say, it's too late. I've wasted my time. I've wasted my life on things that don't matter. If the church is God's agency for fulfilling his purpose, then the Christians are his agents, which do the fulfilling. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm glad you're at church. I'm glad you enjoy sitting in the service. I'm glad you enjoy singing the song. I'm glad for all of those things. But what are you doing for God? God didn't call us just to sit in the service. God wants us to go do something for him. So if we're not going to, one day look back and say it's too late, what are some of the activities that the church and every Christian should be involved with, knowing the time is short and acting before it is too late? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you a couple. Now's the time to share the gospel. What are we waiting for? The world needs a lot of things. It needs encouragement. It needs help. It needs answers. It needs structure. It needs the truth. But I'll be honest with you, the most important thing this world needs, the most important thing our country needs, the most important thing our state needs, and the most important thing our city needs is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, why? Why is that a big deal? Why do you talk about that all the time? Because I don't want to be part of a social club. I enjoy hanging around with the brethren, don't get me wrong. But listen, if all we're going to do is just come here and drink coffee and sit in a Sunday school class and fellowship and eat and do all those things, do it at home. Now, I like being with God's people, and I like drinking coffee, and I like eating your food, but we're here to be energized to get the gospel out. Why? Hell's real. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hell's not some fictional fairy tale. It's the terror of God for those who are not saved. We have the answer. We have what they need to understand so they can come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And why in the world would we just keep it to ourselves? We need to get the gospel out because life is brief. James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know how long we have, right? Our salvation is drawing nearer every single day, whether we die or whether the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I was reading an article this week, and a pastor in the article gave an illustration. He said when he was a young pastor, he was in college, and while he was in college, he was pastoring, and there was another young friend he had. They were in their mid-20s. And this guy came to him, he said, hey, I know this older man. I think the man was in his 80s. He said, he's ill and I think he's going to die soon. I need you to go witness to him. And so this young pastor in Bible college said he went and he witnessed to this man, older man. And this man got saved. He said a few days after that, the fella who told him to go witness to the old gentleman in his mid-20s was having breakfast with his wife. He got up, took a few steps, and dropped dead. And he said, the old gentleman who I went and shared the gospel with lived for several more years. You see, we don't know when our time is up. You don't know when you're out talking to somebody, you're giving them a track, how many more opportunities they have. And so we need to understand life is brief. We also need to understand, as our theme is telling us, that the clock is ticking. Our theme up on there, you probably can't read it, it's very small. And that, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Can I just say this? Everyone in here, we need to get the gospel out. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care on the Christianity spiritual ladder where you're at, you need to get the gospel out. Maybe you are newer in the faith and you've never, ever done it. You need to learn how to do it. I'll never forget when I was, I don't believe the point, but I got saved when I was in 10th grade, but I did not live for God or go to church or do anything. When I got into 12th grade, a few months after I got into 12th grade, because of how I was living and I was getting, I just dropped out of high school. I always say that's the best thing that ever happened to me. But I want to stay in school. I was going to a public school and I was just doing nothing but getting in trouble. But I dropped out of school. I got my GED. I started working. Well, I had a friend, Ray Dowd, and he had dropped out also. And he was like, you know, did you know Ray Dowd? And I dropped out of school because of Robert. He was a horrible influence. Robert was the worst. Was that me? It was my brother. Yeah, my brother corrupted both of us. But Ray's like, I'm going to go finish in night school. And I already had my GED, right? I was done. And I'm like, okay, I'll go to night school too and get a real diploma. And so just for the record, I dropped out of night school too. Like, I went to night school for 2 months. And I'm like, what am I doing? I'm working full time. I'm going to school. I got a GED. I'm like, you're on your own, Ray. But I'll never forget. We were there one time. I don't know if we got to school early or we were on break. And I was sitting down with him. I wasn't even going to church. I haven't got right with God yet. But I was starting to think about these things. And I sat down and I talked to Ray. And I'm like, have you ever thought about this? And I started talking to him about the Lord in a little bit, not to witness to him. I just wanted to get his thought on it. And he's like, I don't know about all that stuff. You know, I probably could have witnessed to him. But I didn't know what to say. I don't know where he is to this day. Maybe you're newer. So I don't know how to share the gospel. You need to learn. By the way, we go out on Tuesday nights. We're starting on the 24th. We go out every single Saturday. By the way, some of you ought to be coming out. Some of you, and I'll just park here. That's the next point, but we'll just set that aside. Some of you need to be here on Saturdays. You're a Sunday school teacher. You ought to be visiting your Sunday school class. And I'm not saying you need to be here all day on Saturday. Come out here, go out for an hour, make a few visits, encourage your class. But we need to be out here. Okay, back to our regular message. But you need to learn how to do it. I remember I tried witnessing to my dad after I got right with God. And I did witness to him. He wasn't buying it. He didn't want to hear it. But you know, there was something about when I started witnessing after I got right with God that my faith just exploded. I loved it. And I won't go through the story. I remember going with my brother-in-law. We went and visited his mom. We came to soul winning at church they had theirs on Thursday night and we weren't paying attention. They didn't pair us up with anybody. So we just went and visited. She got saved. I remember my great-grandfather, Snuffy, who actually lived around the corner here. And I heard that he was sick and he was in the hospital. And I thought, you know, I'm a Christian. I better go find out if my great-grandfather's saved. I went down to the hospital. I got on my motorcycle and I drove down there. I remember sitting next to him and just visiting with him for a little bit. And I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something. Do you know if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? And I tried to witness to him. He said, you know, he goes, I'm saved. During World War II, I was afraid for my life. And he said someone came in and was preaching the gospel. He got saved, and he got baptized, and he gave me a testimony. He was saved. Remember my Uncle Jim? he's passed away. When I first started, I started getting all my family coming to church. I started going, and then my sister Janet was already saved, and my brother-in-law Pete, I invited him. He came to church on a Sunday morning. He got saved. He got baptized that Sunday. Started coming to church. My Aunt Nancy, she used to go to church here before she moved and passed away. My Aunt Vera, my grandmother, my mom, and my Uncle Jim and my Aunt Judy. And Jim wasn't saved. Now, when he first started coming, I didn't know, and I told Brother Black, I believe, and he went by the house to witness to my uncle. And Jim wouldn't get saved. And a few weeks later, he was driving in the car with my Aunt Judy, and he started choking on, he was eating something, he started choking. And so, it wasn't McDonald's. McDonald's doesn't kill you like that. It's more on the installment basis, right? And what do they say? Every time you smoke a cigarette, you lose 7 minutes. Every time you eat at McDonald's, you lose an hour of your life. So there you go. But he was driving on the freeway, and he couldn't pull over, and he was able to kind of do a self-Heimlich maneuver and get it out of his throat. And then he called Pastor Black and said, I need you to come by my house. And he got saved. These types of things, when I was there, I'm like, I like this. I like sharing the gospel. I like seeing people saved, and I still like seeing it. Every time I see someone raise their hand, or I see someone sharing the gospel with someone around here, someone comes back and, hey, someone got saved today, or we're in prayer meeting on Saturday morning. By the way, just so you know, that's at 9:30. Just, you know, in case you want to come. And you know, hey, pray for me today. I'm going to go visit this person, try to share the gospel with them. I'm excited. New people, let's get involved. You say, Pastor, I'm not new. Well, let's talk to you for a minute. See, I've been in church for a while here. I've been a member for a while. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you went soul winning? Okay, listen, we have tracks. We have times. You say, I can't come on Saturdays. I work. I can't come on Tuesdays. I work. Come talk to me. We'll figure out a time for you. But we need to get the gospel out. Some of you used to come on Tuesday nights, and when we have it, you don't come anymore. And that's okay if you're working, come on Saturday. But we need to get the gospel out. You say, Pastor, I'll do it in some other time. Let me just say this. I have found, and maybe you're the exception to the rule, those that won't come to church soul winning times won't do it any other time. We got to get that out. I love Brother Chim. Brother Chim was in the hospital after his accident. And Mrs. Chim, after his little story today about you, I think that it probably did a lot more damage than we thought. Okay? I do remember. I don't even remember, Brother Chim. You were at our house one time. It was January 1st. It was a holiday. You were at our house when our kids were younger. You were hanging out. We were going to play games or do something. And you got a phone call and you said, I got to go to San Diego and see Leslie. And you just up and left. I thought, man, that is either stupidity or love. They're married. It's love. Okay? But but Brother Chim's like, I haven't been able to win someone to the Lord since I got out of the hospital. And he said, I got one the other day. Amen. Listen, did you used to do it and you stopped? By the way, it's okay to stop once the world is completely saved. I'll let you know when that happens. Let's not stop. Maybe you are mature in the faith and you do share the gospel. Let me encourage you, don't stop. For all of us, let's remember now is the time to get the gospel out. Hand tracks everywhere you go. Come to soul winning. We have people that come because they find tracks on the door. The gentlemen that the guys, the boys that were baptized this morning, that family got a friend day invite card in an elevator. No one even personally invited them to friend day. Someone left one on an elevator. Amen. That whole family's, I think the whole family's been saved. Amen. It works. Number two. Now is the time to serve in ministry. Now is the time to serve in ministry. Jesus said, John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, there'll be a day when we can't serve this world, when we're in heaven. Now, we'll still serve the Lord and love him and all those different things, but God wants us to serve him here. We have only the present to serve God with our lives. We have a lot we want to accomplish here. But we are only limited by those who will help us do the work. God's not limited. God has all the resources in the world. God wants us to serve people. God wants us to reach people. By the way, that's the purpose that we have here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, different spiritual gifts there. We're not going to go into that. But all of that's for one purpose. Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, for the perfecting of the saints, to help us mature in our faith, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. I could give you the verses I have on many occasions, where service to the Lord is tied very closely to our salvation. It's mentioned in Titus, and it's mentioned in Ephesians. Right afterwards, he wants us to serve him. Let me just ask you, what are you doing? Our church, one of our responsibilities, we're trying to teach and help you to grow in your faith. That was our theme last year. Why? So we're strong enough to go out and serve our community, to do the work of the ministry. You say, don't we pay the staff for that? A staff-run church is a staff-ruined church. Now, by the way, I love serving the Lord as well. We're not hired hitmen around here. Like, our job's to drink coffee in our offices all week long. I had a new convert come by the church about 4 months ago. They came by to get some paperwork or something, and they saw me in the hallway, and they're like, what, you're here all week long? I'm like, oh, no, I only work on Sunday. They were shocked. Look, there's stuff to do. But listen, we're supposed to serve the Lord as well. Church membership is more than a privilege, it's a responsibility. By the way, the staff, we all serve. And to be honest with you, you know what it was? When I was in the church, when I wasn't on staff, when I was just a new convert, I loved serving in ministry. I was a single man, and I just kept adding thing. I kept adding thing after thing after thing. And you know what I do now? I just do more of it, and I get paid for it. I love it. You know what's, I'm a Filipino pastor now. Salamat. Okay. And I love doing that. But you know the thing that I don't like about it? The people. No. I'm just kidding. They're the best people in the whole world. I used to love driving the shuttle bus. I just like those kind of things. Why? Because I could drive by people parking in the wrong spot. And I just slow down and like, okay? I just, look, if I'm not the pastor, I'd be doing something. I'd usher. Now, I wouldn't be like our ushers. I wouldn't steal all the offering plates. But I want to do something for God. You know what? You enjoy church a lot more when you're involved. There are so many things we can do around here. Let me ask you a couple things here. Do you have a place of service in the church? That, look, church membership isn't a badge of, hey, ta-da, I get to park in the parking lot. No, when you become a member, you get kicked out of the parking lot. Sunday mornings, at least. Okay, go to Blue Line. It's great. Sometimes. But what are you doing in the church? Find a place of service. Are you willing to step up when there are opportunities or needs? We say, hey, you know, we need this thing done, or someone comes. And I know, probably of all the jobs in the church, the job that's probably the least popular is the nursery. Those kids are so beautiful. They're so cute. Their little drool and their little smiles. But man, they smell funny. They cry at the wrong times, and I get it. You imagine if those kids were in here? It'd be a train wreck, right? You go to a wedding or a funeral, it's like, can someone, you know, put something in that kid's mouth? But we need people. Do you see a need? Are you willing to say, hey, there's an opportunity, we need something? Are you hiding your talents? By the way, let me just say this. If you play an instrument and you're hiding it, don't let me know. Now, if it's an electric guitar, keep it to yourself. Okay? So we're not doing that. I'm going to find out one day. I'm coming after you. Use your can you sing? Well, that's not even an option. We'll let you in the choir. You can be eye candy. Well, no, some of you, you know, if you were eye candy, you'd be Sour Patch. Sorry, Brother Rawl. I was thinking about you there, buddy. Are you faithful in your church ministries? Let's be faithful. If you are in a ministry, find out when you're supposed to be doing it, where you're supposed to be doing it, and be there the time you're supposed to be there. Let's be faithful. I love serving. Mrs. Stein, God bless her. I give her such a hard time. She's shaking her head. Yet. She drives a Ford. What do you want me to do? But you know what? What was it, 20-something years ago, Miss Stein was new in our Sunday school class. And I'm like, I used to make the coffee. I'd come in and I had a special system. It was kind of weird, wasn't it? I had like 12 different flavors of creamer. I mean, it was like a science. I set it up. It looked all nice. And I got tired of doing it. I had other things. But Mrs. Stein, would you like a job? Why don't you come make coffee for us? Can you help me did I just tell you to do it for a little bit? Yeah, I lied. I said, I just need a little bit of help here for a little bit. So she came in on two Sundays. I showed her how to do it. She took notes. And I'm like, all right, see how this goes. I'll get back with you. It's 20-something years later. I still haven't got back with her. She's still doing it, okay? You know, some people go to Starbucks. We go to Steinbucks, okay? But listen, it's time to serve. Now is the time. And we'll stop it there for tonight. But the only time we have promised is now. So let me ask you something. Have you never been involved in some of these activities, serving God, working, doing a ministry job, sharing the gospel? Well, maybe it's time you started. Maybe you're doing it, you've kind of slacked off. By the way, when we start up on Tuesday night, I hope you're all here. I hope you're all here. We need to get the gospel out. Maybe you used to be in a ministry. You used to help the nursery. You used to teach Sunday school. You used to do this and do that. But now it's like, Pastor, you know how I do all that? I just give. Well, if you could show me in the Bible that if you give, you don't have to do those things, I will take that. You say, okay, Pastor, I'll serve, but I won't give. Then you can't serve. You have to give if you're serving. Let's take this thing seriously. We only have so much time. And by the way, let me say this and I'm done. That means I have three more closing points. This world is, they'll listen. They'll listen to us. Quit listening to social media. Quit listening to CNN. In fact, the fact of the matter is you shouldn't watch that stuff. It's bad for your soul. Okay? Do you know when you go out, people talk to you? It's very rare someone is mean. They'll take your track. They'll take your invitation. They'll listen. You know why? Because they're as confused about what's going on in this world as we are. The only difference is we see it from God's perspective. We see how it's all lining up. We see where it's all heading to. They don't. We have the answer. But we got to get at it. We got to get at it. We have to take this thing. Let's not be like Esau. Esau looked back. And I just feel for him. And I've read that story so many times. And over the last couple weeks, I stopped and I just went through it several times and thought about it. And it's like, here's somebody that wanted what he lost. And he was willing to go do something else to try to gain it back. Hey, I hope Dad sees this. It's too late. It's too late. I don't want it to be too late for us. And sadly, not just too late for us, but too late for them. Let's take this thing seriously. Let's stand together this evening. If we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Now is the time. Now is the time. We're only promised now. Not promised the future. Let's do what we can today. You say, well, I can wait for a little bit. Maybe there's someone out there, they can't wait. Maybe we'll show up just in time. That couple who's having marriage problems. They're having problems with their children. They're having problems with their life. They're feeling like, look, all this stuff that's going on in our society with changing genders and all this stuff, it's because people are confused about life and they have no purpose. And they feel like, well, maybe if I do something as radical like that, I'll find out my purpose in life. They're never going to find it that way. They're gonna find out that that was worthless. They still have no purpose and they have altered their life forever. Maybe if we got to them in time. At least we can try. Now's the time. Let's not, one of these days, Pastor, I'm going to get involved. Nope. Today's the day. Today's the day. Piano's going to play. God spoke to you. Why don't you come?